We go first of all to Washington, D.C. area. Ken Timmerman standing by. He looks at geopolitical activities for us. And Ken, the situation in the Ukraine is not getting any better. In fact, Russia has ordered military exercises after the Ukraine started to move on the separatists there in the eastern portion of the Ukraine itself. This does not sound good for what could happen in the Ukraine.
The Russians seem to be pushing the conflict closer to war, and they're carrying out these exercises on the border of Ukraine. The Ukrainians are continuing to push out the Russians, posing as civilians in various parts of the Ukraine. The tensions are rising, look, it's very clear. The United States seems to be putting pressure on Russia. They would like to try to mobilize the Europeans behind us. We've sent troops to Poland for exercises, but I don't see any really strong U.S. action against Russia today. As all of this is going on, you have a meeting of the Trilateral Commission in Washington, D.C., as we speak over this weekend. I know for a fact that they will be discussing the Ukraine. The Europeans do not agree with the United States on putting tough economic sanctions on Russia because they are deeply engaged in the Russian economy. You have a country like Germany, which depends something like 95% on Russian gas, natural gas, to fuel its economy. The Germans are going to be pushing against any kind of U.S. sanctions. This situation is quickly escalating. The United States has few cards to play. The Obama administration is not playing those cards very well, and the Europeans are pushing back.
Well, some have said that this is a possibility that the Ukrainians could break into civil war, and others have even gone so far to say this could be the beginning of World War III. I'm asking you this question. Does the fact that the United States troops arrived in Poland incite this to possibility of another World War at all?
Well, I see this more as Cold War II rather than World War III. I don't think that the Russian president, despite his aggressiveness, despite his willingness to confront a weak U.S. president, I don't see him really seeking an open military conflict with the United States, but I do see him in a strong-armed confrontation with us. Again, this is more Cold War II. He wants to show that he is more powerful, that his wits are stronger, that he can defeat us through aggressive gestures that we will not counter. That is what is so dangerous when you have a tyrant like Putin who is not yet strong enough to confront us openly in a military sphere, but is daring us to respond. And we are not responding very vigorously.
Again, what about Crimea? It looks like the anti-Russian Muslims in that part of the world are gathering arms. I don't know if they're going to go after the Russians that are there in Crimea. What does this all mean?
Well, this is something that we need to look at a lot more closely. There's been news over the past week that the Turkish foreign minister has been supporting the Tatar Muslim population inside Crimea. This is a Turkic population in Crimea, long repressed by the Soviet Empire and now by the Russian Empire. And if the Turks start to arm the Crimean Tatars, who are about 10 to 15% of the population, this could really be a very significant development. You could have a civil war inside Crimea with Islamist-style suicide bombings or other terrorist attacks. And that could really turn this into a very different type of conflict from what we've seen until now.
You know, we've been looking at the Middle East very closely as we watch everything developing there, but the focus now has been on that part of Europe, Eastern Europe, the Ukraine, Russia, and the European Union. But at the same time, we need to keep a watch on the Middle East. It looks like that the Iranians are upping the ante. They're fitting their destroyers with cruise missiles. What's this all about?
The Ghadir missile, which the Iranians are starting to deploy on their military ships, is a very serious development. This is a cruise missile which was developed with the idea of taking out U.S. aircraft carriers and U.S. destroyers, major naval combatant ships, surface combatants, This is very serious. The U.S. is worried about this. The U.S. military, the Navy, is worried about this. We don't know yet how many ships will be equipped with this new missile, but it's something that we absolutely need to keep our eyes on.
Let's also stay in the Middle East as we talk about Syria. Bashar Assad has called for presidential elections upcoming. This is not fitting well with the rest of the world. This is not the time, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, says, for Syria to have presidential elections. Your thoughts?
Saddam Hussein also had elections like this, where he was re-elected president with 97 or 99% of the vote. So it's not really a surprise that Bashar al-Assad would do this. His father did the same thing as well. I have really not seen any serious pressure over the past 6 months on Bashar al-Assad to step down. The Syrian opposition, which is now dominated by al-Qaeda and pro-al-Qaeda or al-Qaeda-affiliated groups, is losing ground. The only good news in Syria is this small experiment in the northwest where you have Kurds, Syriac Christians, and Arab groups who have joined together to self-govern. They have a small autonomous district where they are trying to live in harmony and to respect each other's religious, ethnic, and political differences. So I have not seen a great deal of pressure on President Assad. The U.S. policy has failed for the most part. And the Syrian government, to their credit, I guess to the Russian credit, or if you wish, to the credit of their disinformation operation, they have managed to keep up with the UN deadlines to get rid of their weapons of mass destruction and to ship something like 92% of those chemical weapons to the international organization charged with destroying them. Now, does that mean that they have some left over? Probably they do. But they have fulfilled their commitment. That's something you and I have talked about in previous shows. I have long suspected that they would do it, if not by the deadline, at least within a month or two afterwards. And now they're in the process of succeeding that. So the pressure on Assad is decreasing. He is winning the civil war. And we need to now look at protecting those minorities, especially the Christian minorities that are most at risk.
And speaking of Christians, sorry to interrupt you there, speaking of Christians, let's think about that just for a moment. Ken, you have been at the cutting edge in reporting persecution of Christians in the Middle East, in particular in Iraq, also in Iran. We've seen that happening in Syria. We've seen it happening in Africa. There's an article that's out. I think you may have had opportunity to read it. War on Christians, the Politics of Persecution. This indeed is a political situation as well as a religious situation, isn't it not?
Well, it is. And the persecution on Christians continues, unfortunately, not just in Syria, not just in Iraq, in Nigeria, in Asia as well. And the United States, which used to be a strong supporter of embattled religious minorities, has essentially gone quiet on this front. I'm not quite sure what President Obama is thinking, but he is not coming out in support of embattled Christians around the world or other minorities. He is, on the contrary, favoring the immigration in the United States of Muslims from these countries, and he's not helping Christians who have helped the United States. I'm thinking in particular of Iraqi Christians who have worked as interpreters and translators for U.S. forces in Iraq, who were granted special status by the United States Congress to help them to immigrate to the United States should they be in threat of persecution for their religious beliefs. And the State Department under this president has not helped them at all.
Well, you have been, as I said, on the cutting edge of this whole situation in the Middle East, around the world, in fact. Do you think it's getting any better at all?
Jimmy, clearly this is getting much, much worse. And it's getting worse because of the attitude, really, and the policies and the behavior of the United States government. We have been absent of the United States from helping the persecuted Christian minorities. And because of that, I think that sends a message, especially to the jihadi Muslims, that they can get away with murdering Christians with impunity. We need to stand up as a Christian community for our faith. We have to stand up for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In our churches, we need to collect money and send them money through reliable intermediaries. Don't think that we are somehow privileged here in this country and don't have a duty to to our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. We do, because they are being persecuted and our government is not doing anything to help them.
And right here on Prophecy Today, we're going to stay on top of this story with Ken Timmerman. It is indeed, as Ken has related to us, a very important situation. Ken Timmerman, looking at geopolitical activities for us here today on Prophecy Today. Ken, thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, and God bless, Jimmy.